Showdown. I loved that.
What a great tune. Huh?
Huge, huge fan of the Electric Light Orchestra, one of the greatest bands of all time. Jeff Lynne, one of the greatest producers and songwriters of all time. The man was a genius. I mean, he was one of the major producers for a good chunk of Tom Petty's career.
Really? Dude, Telephone Line, one of the best songs ever. I swear to God.
Telephone Line, it's only my favorite song because it's what Adam Sandler plays when he calls Steve Buscemi during Billy Madison. Yeah. Right? You got the telephone line in the background, and then he apologizes to Steve Buscemi for being a bully. And then, you know, at the end, Steve Buscemi crosses his name off the hit list and puts the lipstick on.
The greatest part of that scene, though, is how cool he is. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I forgot all about that, man. Oh, well, gee, thanks for the apology. And then he gives the hit list. Like, that is insane.
It's also wild to think, you know, that was at a time where, you know, Steve Buscemi's just sitting there and the phone rings and he answers it. And it's this guy he hasn't seen in like 30 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Or not 30. When does Billy Madison take place? What, like, he's
it's like 10 years.
He's supposed to be, what, like, already out of college, right? Like, 20s?
Like 28, 30.
Yeah, probably, yeah, closer to 30, yeah. And he's just drunk with his two friends, Jack and Frank.
What a great movie.
Great duo, no doubt about it. And, yeah, that's right. They play the telephone line. I was doing a little mini deep dive on the Jeff Lynne. I'm a huge fan, and I know a lot of his stuff, and I was immediately thinking about the Traveling Wilburys. Are you familiar?
Oh, my God, the Blues Brothers, right?
No, the Traveling Wilburys was a super group. It was created by Jeff Lynne and Tom Petty, and you may have heard of a couple of the other guys in the band. Roy Orbit.
I thought it was that band in the Blues Brothers with the, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, you may have heard of a few of the other guys in the band. Roy Orbison, George Harrison of the Beatles, and Bob Dylan were also they were also in the band. And it was the Traveling
Wilburys.
Yeah, I think you've heard of this. This was a Peppino favorite in the house. They had the
End of the Line.
End of the line, man. Come on, handle with care. This is a classic group, classic sound. Credit to the Jeff Lynne, though. I gotta say, I think the dude was the mastermind behind a lot of this stuff. You know, a production master, a producer. He was like the Kanye of his era.
Yeah.
And then he...
Wow! Lynne and Dylan are the only ones left alive.
That's weird. Now you know who sold their soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, right? They had the most success, probably the most money, probably got laid the most, you know? Like, there's no way George Harrison got laid the most out of anyone in the Beatles or even the Traveling Wilburys, man.
You don't think so?
Dude, Roy Orbison? Roy Orbison was, like, a huge deal back in the 50s, man.
Yeah.
And I brought this up many a times in the past, but the 50s and 60s, even the 70s, maybe a little 80s, probably even the 90s, before the social media, really, you could just travel the country and bang anyone, and nobody knew anything about it, right? That was the whole deal.
You just deny it.
That's why these old rockers keep rocking out, you know? They can't leave the lifestyle behind. But the Jeff Lynne, dude, I love the going down that road, and a good call on the ELO. We don't do enough on the show, and you said before we cut out that the song itself was from a specific movie. What was the movie?
Oh, no guesses?
I could not guess. I came up with Billy Madison with the telephone line. That was my best guess.
That was good. This one, you got to think, man, it's a really heated moment. Two guys, they're facing off, right? One guy ruined the other guy's life when he was a young guy, just starting off his career.
Are we talking modern film or like
back in the 90s?
All right, 90s. Okay, all right. We got the Showdown, two guys. Man, it's not
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray?
Yeah, the song comes on right as he's in the heated battle about to win it after a guy who he caused him to lose his hand.
Oh my God, Kingpin.
Kingpin!
You're totally right. Oh my god!
The championship and the championship of the tournament. It's going to be a showdown.
Kingpin is an absolute gem.
Oh, dude, it came on the other day. It's one of those you have to watch.
You can't turn that off. Yeah, absolutely. Man, Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray. That movie is absolutely fantastic. I believe it's the Farrelly brothers, if I'm not mistaken. The fellas who did the Something About Mary and one of my all-time favorites, Dumb and Dumber.
Came out in 96.
Dude, those,
you know, it's,
they were on a, those guys were on a roll in the 90s. That's, you know, they had a peak. They no doubt had a peak, man. It's wild.
But yeah, that's the funniest. What a great movie. That scene when he fucks the landlord is one of the best.
That is a kind of, it's kind
when
of
he's
a funny
throwing
scene
up in the toilet.
Oh yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
So funny.
Almost like it hits too close to home there, huh? Is that what you're saying? I'm thinking maybe there was some personal connection. That's why you have such an affinity for it, right?
Maybe.
Maybe, man.
Maybe. There's been some rough ones.
Yeah, I can, you know, we've all been there. There's no doubt about it. Kingpin, though, a sneaky one that nobody ever quotes, nobody ever talks about. You rarely have that one pop up in the conversation or in the joking at the bars. You know what I'm saying? That's that's kind of funny how I'm almost very intrigued and I'm motivated to watch it. Even though the writer strike is over, you've all forgot, I know. But there's still no good content out there, and I've been way more into swinging through the HBO there and seeing what's on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still old school. I like to have the cable. I like to peruse the channels.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm getting rid of it, man. If I get my own place, cable's gone.
I like the cable. They do the package with the internet, and I love commercials. That's why I do the cable. You know me. I love the commercials. They give me the... It allows me to have my finger on the pulse of our society.
I hate commercials.
Nah, you got to watch the commercials, man. It's how you know what people are into.
No, I don't care. I don't want to see what Pfizer is selling today.
Well,
yeah,
if you weren't up to date on your commercials,
although, dude, interesting commercial... Oh, sorry, I totally interrupted you.
Oh, no, I'm excited to hear it, actually.
What's crazy is, you know, the Daily Wire is now part of this cult because they're constantly advertising now those, like, fruit and vegetable pills that you always see on, like, Fox News and Newsmax. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, when I look at the Daily Wire and a lot of these modern podcasts that are very professionally visual, I see a lot of makeup, a lot of set design, a lot of scripting, a lot of teleprompter. It's essentially TV has moved to just a cheaper medium.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, yeah.
Yeah,
it's so scripted.
If you're watching the Daily Wire, you're watching what Fox News used to be.
Right. It's scripted, edited, you're right. You're totally right.
It's refined. It, you know, they have a tighter grip on what's going on there, and like, whereas Fox, you know, they do like Fox just throws out Fox and Friends, and you got these five bimbos out there talking about nonsense. You know,
yeah, but they're hot.
Exactly. And CNN's doing the same thing.
No, their chicks are always nasty. Who's that one gross chick? Yeah, she's like Egyptian or something.
Well,
I don't even
the
know
problem with no, CNN, or the whatever. Problem with CNN is they hire from the CIA, so they're getting all these, you know, studious, you know, hardcore intenso chicks who can, like, you know, take apart a gun in like 5 seconds and put it back together and kill you.
That's not who these girls are. No, these are women who've made a career out of complaining. Have you seen that chick?
Which one are you talking about? They did a big sweep. They got rid of our favorite Don Lemon, and they got rid of Brian Stelter.
So funny, dude. I kept saying Fareed Zakaria, whatever. That's actually he actually is a dude on CNN.
Yeah, Fareed Zakaria.
Yeah, that's who.
But there's also
kind of looks like the chick I'm talking about.
There's
actually,
like, Frida something or whatever. What's her name?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. That really ugly chick that's always on CNN.
Wow. Well, there's like a lot of intense looking chicks on CNN.
No, she's not intense, dude. This bitch is ugly. Okay, she has no business being on TV.
Well, I've noticed this with NPR, which is because of the inclusivity era that we are in. They are hiring people because their names are crazy. You can't pronounce them. They're clearly, you know, some different skin color than white. And but it's radio, it's NPR, and you can't understand them. They're telling you a news story and you have no idea what they're saying. But they're being inclusive, right? It's just, when it comes to NPR, like, I like the British. Bring in the British reporter. It sounds more professional. I believe the information a little bit more, right? Like, I don't need the African fella or the Hispanic lady who's a lesbian, you know, to come in and
now a black guy with a British accent, totally, that.
Well, yeah,
almost more believable, right?
Oh, you get a lot of that, and I'm all about it. I'm all about the British accent. I'm saying when you go super ethnic, super inclusive on the NPR, and you have the thick, like, you know, Nigerian accent dude coming through there, it's like, I'm having a hard time hearing your news, man. Like, maybe just get a person who can speak English on your English radio station so I can hear the news.
For sure.
In Niger, in NPR Niger, have the Nigerian guy do the news there. That's fantastic. But here in America,
he does a great job.
And we Americans, for some reason, we like when the Brits tell us the news. There's a little more sophistication to it, right? So give me the Brit, any color, I don't care, but just give me the British accent. I'm all for it. But none of the other ethnic stuff. I'm sorry, the Indians, the Spanish, everything. Like, you know, I dig the accents. I think they're beautiful, very cool for you. And, you know, if I'm visiting, you know, I'd love to check it out. But on my radio, on the NPR, I'm trying to get some info. I want to get the dirt on the groping that occurred at Beetlejuice with Lauren Boebert. I don't need the African dude from Niger telling me about it.
Right.
Give me the British guy.
Dude, don't you think I was just thinking about it, like, it's very ironic because, like, they're even almost hated for it. Like, Indians are just known to be, like, engineers and doctors. But the minute you come at me with that accent, I just assume you're stupid.
Right? Rough.
We're British, I've, like, never seen one actually do an intelligent job. But the minute you talk, I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to this guy.
Yeah, we always listen to the British. It's just how it works. They got that accent, man. Something so proper about it. I don't know.
What'd you say, Muhammad? You used to be a physicist? I can't understand you, bro. Pierce, tell me how to think.
It's so funny, but it's true, man. All other accents are just garbage when it comes to the British. The British just sound like they know what they're talking about, man.
Yeah, the ones that, but they're so smart. Like, even Asians, like, I don't want to listen to you. But you're like, known, your stereotype is you're so smart.
I think the one thing that could trump maybe the British dude is the, like, a really confident Southern American fella. You know, if you have the Southern accent, you're like a general, and you're very confident.
Lindsey Graham?
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's right. How'd you know? Yeah. Lady G.
You know what's crazy is, like, Australian, like, we don't assume you're smart, but we just assume you're cool.
No, we know you're crazy, and that you'll do anything.
Is that what that is?
Yes. Yeah. If I hear in Australia, I'm like, this guy will do anything we tell him. He's insane. Think about where they live. Have you seen the kangaroo that are down there? They're more jacked than people here, man. Like, you could, like, the animals there can kill you just leaving your house. So you have to just be crazy to live in Australia.
Dude, I'm not joking. I keep looking for this chick. I can't. CNN does not have any pictures of her. And she's literally on every fucking day. I can't find this fucking bitch's name.
Well, she's probably out of commission. I bet you she's been at home on leave, most likely because she's suffering from something that a lot of Americans are suffering from. Like, this is a huge deal. This is very important. Everybody's got long COVID.
Out of new numbers on how long COVID affects millions of Americans. New data from the CDC shows that last year, almost 7% of adults had at least 3 months of long COVID symptoms after being infected with the virus. Ariel Reshef here with the story. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning to you, George.
And I wonder how many of them were vaccinated. Mmm.
I was about to say, I wonder how many of them were Trump supporters.
Good call.
Seems to me the antidote to that was the MAGA hat for some reason.
No, we said this for years, even before we did the show, that if you needed the cure for COVID, vote Republican. Yeah. That was the only cure you needed. You had all the medicine right there. If you, the second you voted Republican, COVID just didn't bother you. It was crazy.
Listen to Joe Rogan. You'll be all right.
Yeah, dude. The second you just fill in that little circle next to Republican, whoever it is, the COVID just washes away. It's a
COVID knows. COVID knows.
Well, remember, we were told, right? COVID, not only the smartest disease of all time, but also it was very partisan, and it only attacked protesting Republicans, not the protesting people for the Summer of Love. Remember?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
COVID didn't get the folks in the Chaz, but it was going after the MAGA hat people in Denver battling against the, you know, nurses blocking the roadway because they were so busy in the hospitals, they had time to go line up in the road and block the roads. They were so overwhelmed in the hospitals, they had time to block the roads! Does anybody remember how nurses were so overwhelmed? They were so overworked with all the COVID patients that they just had no time to make endless TikTok videos. Does everybody remember the TikTok dancing videos?
Well, the videos were in between being a hero. Everybody's got to take a break, Frank. Even heroes.
Yeah, dude. Freaking heroes, man. Doing TikTok dance videos and blocking the traffic in Denver in front of the freaking baseball stadium because you're a freaking hero, man.
If we learned anything, I really hope it's be careful who you call a hero.
Well, they devalued the word hero. It has now become equal to racist. Congratulations. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Hero is a joke.
We're the same people.
Yeah, well,
the heroes were Democrats. They're not racist.
That's right. So long COVID is here, and they just don't want to tell you that the people getting the long COVID are...
Long COVID is a catch.
They're the ones that are vaxxed.
Term for people experiencing prolonged COVID symptoms following a positive test or diagnosis. This can lead to long-term health and economic impacts for those affected and on society. According to new figures from the CDC, long COVID affected 6.9% of adults in the U.S., women more frequently than men, and people outside of large central metro areas were more likely to experience long COVID. The impact has been lower for children. About 1.3% of children have ever been affected, but among kids, data shows 12 to 17-year-olds were most likely to be affected by long COVID symptoms, and Hispanic children have been most affected. As for what kind of help there is now that COVID is no longer considered a public health emergency, long COVID could qualify as a disability and possibly for Social Security disability payments, but you have to document your symptoms and speak with your healthcare provider before applying.
Yeah.
Michael.
All right. Pay it up, people. More taxes. Believe it or not, you're going to see a percentage on your paycheck. I guarantee it.
No, you know what this is? These are the people that are going to get their new normal forever. They wanted the new normal.
Yes, man. Long COVID. What a hoax, man.
It's already been proven it was bullshit. There is no such thing as long COVID.
I know, dude, but we're going to pay for it. I guarantee Jared Polis right now is signing his name under a bill that's going to grant tens of thousands of dollars to everybody with the long COVID so they could sit at home forever and never work again.
I mean, is there any other disease that only affects Democrats?
No, I can't get over this, man. It seriously only affects how you vote. If you vote,
have you ever gone to the doctor and he's like, Frank, I got bad news. You got pancreatic cancer. You must have voted for Joe Biden.
That damn Bidenomics. It got me again.
Whatever you do next year, Frank, if you value your life, vote Republican.
Have you thought about the Forward Party with Andrew Yang and the Yang Gang? Yeah.
Vote for them. You'll just lose your balls. That's it.
What happened to the Yang Gang, man? Come on.
How does Vivek, or whatever, can't even say his name, he's more popular.
Rama, Lama, Shlama, Dama, Ding Dong, I believe is the name.
Andrew Yang, I totally forgot about him. You're more forgettable than the writer's strike.
forward party, you know for sure they were told to take a fat seat for the next 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
And shut up. They sat that man down and said, you shut up, and you shut up good and hard for the next 4 years, and don't move. That's what
No, but we're going to move forward, especially on things like climate change. Isn't it? All right. Listen here, Chinaman.
Don't make us bring out the clone. All right, Yang?
We have your 23andMe results. All right? We know.
Oh, there's no forward party, man. Come on. Where's my Yang Gang at, dude? Where's all my people out there who want that universal basic income? Come on.
Well, we decided that we were so forward that we were going to look forward to 2028.
Yes, exactly. Looking forward to the future, where there are no parties anymore. It's just, you know, the Democrats. They've arrested everybody else. Everyone's serving life in prison for being nowhere near Jan 6th. Right?
Or Donald Trump, dude. What the fuck is this fraud thing? They just...
I have no idea, to be totally honest.
I tried to listen to, like, three people explain it.
Same.
I don't get it.
I've watched several clips. I've read several articles.
They're not charging him with a crime.
No.
There was nobody who was defrauded.
That's right.
So there's nobody complaining.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, even the government is not saying you... Like, I don't even know, like, what this is. How did they even come up with you owe us $250 million?
It was a giant publicity stunt. It was a huge distraction. I can only presume some bizarre and fantastical information has just been revealed about Hunter Biden and one of his laptops or some sort of dealings he was making with overseas commodities that always aligns with these absurd and insane Donald Trump stories. This one was a doozy, though, and we do not like to clip or talk too much Trump because you can get all the Trump you want from Pod Save America every single day.
It's in their title.
We try not to do it because, you know, it's interesting to hear about other stuff.
You need to change the name of your podcast to Trump Save Podcast.
Trump Save Pod America. Yeah. Those buffoons. That's all the podcasts, all the news, though. It's MSNBC has yet to have a day in the last year, maybe two, without Donald Trump's face on the front cover on their homepage. It's absolutely crazy how obsessed they are with Donald Trump. They just stop pretending. MSNBC is designed and dedicated to assassinating the character of Donald Trump. That's it. That's all they do. Like, they're the only ones talking about E. Jean Carroll. I swear to God. I see nothing about her anywhere else except for on MSNBC. They love it. So Trump was accused of fraud based on the idea that the valuation of Mar-a-Lago is not what it is or all this nonsense. This is good stuff. I am a huge fan of super distractions like this one.
Now to the new legal blow tonight for former President Trump in New York State's $250 million civil lawsuit over alleged business fraud. Garrett Haig joins us. Garrett, the judge making some highly critical comments in this case.
Yeah, that's right, Lester. The judge ruling the former president committed repeated acts of fraud in building up his real estate empire. And in a scathing ruling, the judge found Mr. Trump repeatedly lied to both banks and insurers about the value of his properties and exaggerated his wealth by billions of dollars to get more favorable loan terms or insurance rates. The judge writing Mr. Trump's financial statements were, quote, based in a fantasy world, not the real world, and said any remaining legal issues will be resolved at the trial beginning on Monday. Mr. Trump calling the lawsuit a politically motivated witch hunt by a Democratic attorney general, and Trump's lawyer saying they'll appeal. Lester.
All right.
All right. So what I find super interesting about this, actually, is nobody cares. And I'm starting to think nobody cares about Trump because they've overplayed their hand. They've saturated this world where it does feel like a witch hunt, to be totally honest, because it's almost weekly now. Some new place is going after this guy. You have this weird coordinated attack happening, and simultaneously, the dude who's running against him is nowhere to be seen. I mean, he kind of showed up. One of his puppets did over at the strike there in Michigan, but nobody cared. See what's happening? It's really crazy. It's almost like all these storylines that worked back in 2016 that drew attention and ratings are not working anymore. I believe people are awake to the fact that the news media is lying to them and creating bullshit and just distracting them, and nobody cares. And that's where we're at now with this political cycle, and that's what's making this so crazy to me. It almost seems like they have to have some sort of new 9/11 or something to occur to get people back to watching the news.
Well, they need another January 6th.
But even that now is so obviously fake.
Cares.
It was total bullshit. Again, that 22 years to Enrique Tarrio, who wasn't even there, left a very bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah.
Almost as bad as taking Paxlovid. You know, kind of like a, what is it? Diaper, right? Rotting
diaper
diapers?
Mouth.
Rotting diapers. That's kind of the taste.
Yeah, I like I said, you guys can't even fully explain what he did wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you murder somebody, he killed this guy. Oh, okay.
He raped
this girl. He stole this. He stole that.
Yes.
Here you inflated the... Remember the... Like, you guys love saying nobody's above the law. That's why we're going against... That's why we're going after him like this. Okay, how many people in D.C. have overinflated the value of their home?
Or overinflated the size of their boobs? Take a look at Boebert, AOC, Pelosi... We got to get some credit card statements and receipts on these bad boys.
I want to go after everybody's Tinder profile, whoever said they got a huge dick.
That's right, man.
Everybody that lied about how tall they were.
Fucking fraud. The fraud is everything in D.C. is a fraud, and we're being frauded. That's what's happening.
Yes. I mean, how is this not election interference?
Exactly.
You're running for president? Well, now you owe us $250 million.
Again,
in the middle of paying for all these court cases, all these lawyers. On top of that, you're going to try to run... Like, this is election interference.
Yeah, man, and doesn't it feel like just... We're being beaten over the head with it to the point where... All right, you guys have made your point. You don't want this guy to run. We get it. All right? Like, yeah. To the point where here in Denver or in Colorado, they're trying to get him off the ballot and do all this insane shit here. They were really hammering
To save
it.
Democracy,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, we're going to save...
To save democracy, we're going to do what never been done and prevent somebody from being on the ballot.
It's pretty wild when you really think about it. We were raised as children on the idea that this is America, and if you were born here, anyone can run for president of the United States. Not so true anymore, apparently. You can only run if you check a few boxes and you follow the woke World Economic Forum New World Order agenda, and if you play ball with all the sicko freak pedophiles who like to hang out over on Epstein Island.
Well, Frank, that's just because the Democratic Party, they just happen to always pick the best guy.
I know.
Right? Like Barack Obama, the junior senator from Illinois, was way better than the war veteran hero who had decades of experience.
Kind of weird looking back on it how we took the crack smoking gay fella over the tortured
John
war veteran.
Over the man who couldn't raise his arms above his shoulders because he was tortured.
And refused to reveal secrets of America. Like, just think about this man for a second. I can't believe we said no thanks. Go home, old man. We're going to take that gay guy who likes to suck dick for crack.
And then people like Bill Maher, I took an objective look at these two gentlemen. And then, I'll take the black guy. He's way better.
I know. I can't get over that Bill Maher interview with Carville. Those dudes were just obsessed with building up and talking up the legendary figures of the Democratic Party. And the more they droned on about it, all I could think about is how I detest these humans on both sides of the aisle. Why are we putting these creatures, these sociopathic monsters who have probably done horrifying, terrible things to ascend to their points in power, why do we treat these folks like heroes and idealize them and just, you know... these people are supposed to work for us. I can't get over that clip with that worker there, man. You guys work for us. When did it become I have to worship you?
It, you're like, the whole idea of us voting is to keep them in check. We're not just supposed to be a guaranteed vote that keeps them in power.
No, voting is like having your six-month review. And if you've been showing up late and sleeping on the job and you're kind of screwing up a bunch of orders, well, take a hike, buddy. We hired a new guy. He's going to replace you for the next 4 years. We're going to try something else.
Good call. It should be a job review. Good call. It is. This is your annual. This is your review.
This is your review. You get a second shot, maybe, if we like what you did the last 4 years. And to be totally honest, Sleepy Joe, you've been sleeping on the job, my friend. You've done a shitty job. It's time to move on to something else.
Not just him, though. It's like everybody. Dick Durbin. What have you even done? I fought for the trans rights. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, you literally haven't done anything for the plumber in Chicago.
Did you see this debate, though? Chris Christie, you could see the chicken wing grease, like, hanging on his chin. Like, get the fuck out of here, man. Nobody liked you in Jersey. That's why you didn't keep running in Jersey. You think you're going to work on a national level? You're disgusting.
Dude, get off the stage, man. What are you doing?
Who are these creatures that think they represent us, man? Oh, congratulations, Pennsylvania. Your jackass clown of a senator who they tried to pass some sort of, you know, rule where he could wear his retarded, grease-stained, gym shorts to work.
Oh, he dresses how the plumber dresses after work.
The Senate
it's
voted.
Insane.
The Senate
insane.
Voted today that you have to abide by the dress code.
Did they really?
Yes, they overrode.
Oh, my God. How long have we been doing this podcast? I don't think I've ever done this. 3 years. I'm clapping for Congress. You guys finally fucking did something right.
I believe Jesus so. Christ. Maybe I misread the article. You know, I fly fast here in the afternoon.
I heard somebody make a comment about it. They passed
a resolution. It was voted upon.
No, I think you're right, because I was listening to Trump Save This Pod.
Oh, and, yeah.
I'm sorry, Pod Save America.
That's right.
And the one gay guy, he did make a comment, like, real quick about, well, now we can talk about it now that the dress code in Congress is safe.
Well, maybe it should shine a light on the fact that a majority of people, and it crossed aisles, think, let's dress appropriately for work. Let's be professional. Let's set a standard, you know, raise the bar. Right.
Let's just, Frank, honestly, everybody saw the writing on the wall. Nobody wanted to see Lindsey Graham and Daisy Dukes.
Oh, all
right. You know they were coming. Finally, I could dress free. Oh my
God. I was just looking forward to the cleavage from all the ladies in the house who've had all their boob jobs, man. It would have been a great show. Almost burlesque. Yeah. Borderline, I would say.
It would have been nice. I bet you Nancy Pelosi's boob guy would have gotten more business.
I think so, man. Absolutely.
You know?
Well, at least our Congress members and our government is doing something interesting. Maybe. I don't know what to think about this. I put it on the docket because I thought maybe you would have a thought on it. We may just play this clip, folks, have zero opinions, and just pass through it. So I hope
Frank,
you're excited.
Frank, we're dumb enough to have an opinion on everything. Every topic.
I'm going to throw it out there. I don't even know what antitrust means. Let's do it, Amazon. Yeah!
Now to the antitrust lawsuit against Amazon. The FTC is...
And that's why they gave us...
smart enough for my...
You know,
Bob, I don't think the American people will really understand this. Give it to Michael.
We'll give it to Strahan. Throw a lot of S words in there, will you? It'll throw everybody off.
Now to the antitrust lawsuit against Amazon. The FTC in 17 states accused the online retail giant of illegally protecting a monopoly, inflating prices for consumers. Chief business correspondent Rebecca Jarvis is here with a look at what that means for shoppers, which is a big deal, Rebecca.
It is a huge deal, Michael. Good morning. Nice to see all of you. And 40% of all online shopping.
Nothing is better than the handoff where they just have to pretend like he said everything good and like it went totally
so good. He's handing off to probably someone who went to journalism school, you know? Michael Strahan has, like, he's half brain dead from all the concussions he suffered in his NFL career.
Like she remembers staying up late, studying, looking out the window, and Michael Strahan was just banging three chicks in the courtyard, you know? like now he's the main host, like, handing it off to her, and he can't even speak English. He
makes, like triple her salary. It's unbelievable, man. Yeah, she's...
Okay, Dethica, this is the... All right, thank you very much, Michael. That was very smooth very smooth transition, as always. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Smooth transition.
You're right on the money, dude. She's just staring at him, just like, work his way through those few sentences.
Won the Quincy Adams Award. You know what I mean? Like, you know, she's like, that's all she can think.
Valedictorian, you know, just top of her class. Oh, yeah. Nope. No, here's Strahan. He's going to read from this prompter. He's going to struggle. And then he's going to throw it to you.
You mean struggle?
It's on Amazon. About 2/3 of adults are paying members of Prime.
Like, he couldn't even say Amazon. That's the easiest word in the whole story.
But I was thinking about it when he said it, too. Like, saying a Z with a lisp. That sounds a little difficult.
That does. Yeah, poor guy.
He's got the gap and the teeth. Hey, we've said it before. He's putting in the effort. But this is how far we've fallen with...
Being a news anchor is like me getting a job getting things from high places. You know?
I just can't get over how now our news and our information is delivered to us through voices of humans who... can't put words together or speak full sentences. That's where we're at.
It's perfect. Idiocracy. We're here.
But it makes sense because we have a dude in the Senate who speaks through a computer. So, I mean, like...
Well, that's a good call.
You know, it's brain dead up and down. It's turtles all the way down, folks.
Crowds out competition and ends up costing consumers more and sellers higher fees as well.
This morning, Amazon under fire. U.S. regulators in 17 states suing the country's largest online retailer, accusing it of monopolist practices that allegedly drive out competition and inflate prices for shoppers and fees for sellers.
Whenever they say monopolist, I think metropolis.
Like the old silent film?
Yeah.
Man, that's a golden era.
Great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a weird one. I mean, can you say the silent movies were great movies? We did a dig into the Nosferatu, but really, I mean, even for me, and I harp a lot on the attention span of the modern generations, but, you know, I struggle through some of those older silent ones, you know? Like, that's a rough... You gotta be in the mood.
Good call. It's like the Wright Brothers plane. I'm not getting on it, but I can appreciate it. You know?
I'm not kidding on most prop planes, to be totally honest.
But I can appreciate it.
It's it's how all the great ones go. I think they're redoing Metropolis, or Francis Ford Coppola, I think, is doing a Metropolis.
No, can't redo that.
He's got a new one, and I think it's Metropolis.
You know what's funny is whenever I see it, I think of that... Was that the Drew Carey show when they played the Working in a Gold Mine?
No, that was called Workaholics or Workin'. No, it was Workin'. And it was starring Fred Savage, who was famous from Wonder Years. And he didn't do much with his career post-Wonder Years. And then they did the sitcom Working, which I actually thought was charming and a fun sitcom for the time. It worked when it came out, probably late 90s, I can imagine. 96, I would say. It seems like a 96 kind of year. But I do remember, the theme song, and they showed in the beginning, like, the old visuals of traffic moving and the machine from Metropolis. And
Metropolis, yeah, with the guy riding down the cable.
That's right, dude. Man.
Apple TV. See, this is the problem with you fucking people. You put too many things in there. Apple TV Plus. So stupid.
It's so many words. Right? Yeah.
Apple TV Plus, remake of sci-fi classic Metropolis.
That's right.
Canceled due to U.S. writer's strike. The $188 million remake. Canceled.
And I was right by Francis Ford Coppola, right?
Oh, I don't know. They say Fritz Lang's.
Oh.
1927.
Well, no, I mean the remake.
Oh.
yeah. Not...
He wasn't alive in 27, Frank.
You know, I got some knowledge in the movie world. I don't stretch that far with the directors in the 19s or whatever. But
dude, you don't know who's directing in 1927? Come on.
I know, I'm a loser. I know. But why I know about it is they were filming it, and all over the tabloid world, the TMZ universe, were pictures of Shia LaBeouf, who is supposedly in it, in a dress.
What?
Yeah, he was in this, like, pink dress. And we all know how it goes in the Hollywood world. You know, they make you wear the dress, men. That's how it goes. You gotta wear the dress.
Who's Esmail?
I'm gonna just let that one hang and not guess. That sounds
Sam
like...
Sam Esmail?
Sounds like a lot of trouble. I have no idea, man. Yeah.
That's the writer, director, executive producer, and showrunner.
Maybe I was wrong. I don't even know if Francis Ford Coppola is still alive now that I think about it. I keep throwing his name out there. But I thought it was him.
I really think you're just doing this so we can talk about Nicolas Cage.
No, and I'm aware of the connection.
Oh, dude, it was a series.
Oh, all right. Wow. But I swear, did I at least get the Shia LaBeouf right?
I don't know, dude. I might
be onto something else. Something either way, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the writer's strike. There's also actor strike. So none of this stuff is being made anyways.
Oh, wow. First of all, it was going to be called Megalopolis.
Yes, Megalopolis. That's right.
Impossible to say.
I felt like the word was wrong in my head.
Yeah, Megalopolis. Dude, they had Adam Driver, Forrest Whitaker, Nathalie Emanuel.
My favorite part about Forrest Whitaker is trying to see where his eye is going in every scene. Like,
oh, that's the best part.
Where's that guy? Where's he looking at there?
Hey, but like, dude, Forrest, they also Whitaker. Had John Voight's gonna be in it.
Wow, he doesn't get a lot of action. That's crazy.
Lawrence Fishburne,
Forrest Whitaker, I believe, Scientologist.
Yeah,
almost certain. But I believe Scientologists, what's crazy is John Voight, famously Republican, it's crazy he's getting roles again. I thought he was blacklisted.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, Shia LaBeouf is it. And yes, it is Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay, he is still alive. He's making the movie, or it's a series, or they were making it. Wow, crazy stuff.
Dustin Hoffman's going to be in it too? Dude, this is a fucking all-star cast.
I'm telling you, I was looking forward to it, man. Wow. I thought it would be an interesting romp.
Yeah, it's a series.
Oh, I'm more into that then. Because then let Ford Coppola do his artistic thing and stretch the story for 80 hours, right? Fine, I'll watch the series. Don't make me go to the IMAX theater to watch it for 3.5 hours on the big screen, man.
Good call. Dump it on 8 hours on Netflix. I'll watch it one Saturday.
What'd you
when
say?
I'm hungover.
Apple Plus Prime? Yeah, we got it. Plus, perfect. Yeah, we'll watch it. I can't wait, man. Yeah, for sure. This fucking sounds great. So I can't wait to watch this whole thing over the course of 2 months. It'll be fantastic.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I knew.
Oh, man. The more I look into it, you're right. This was a good call, dude. This is Would have been great, but we should stop talking about it because it doesn't even matter. It's canceled.
It's canceled, and we should blame Amazon, I think. I don't know.
The lawsuit alleging the $1.3 trillion giant keeps sellers from lowering prices.
Bro, what is with... Hold on, stop right there. First of all, I'm all for this. We need to break up Amazon for the number one reason of, you give me this Amazon Prime. Every fucking movie I click on has got commercials.
This is why I actually loved the clip, is because I got the Amazon Prime as well, and all of a sudden I'm waiting like 2 weeks for a delivery of something. I thought the Prime was I get it next day, dude, for anything I want.
Right?
What? The whole point of Prime was I get it right away.
And then, like, now they do this thing where, like, you have to pay attention to your what it says, right? Because they're trying to save the planet. So it'll be like Frank, we can send you everything you ordered except for this pack of toothpicks. Everything could come tomorrow, but this pack of toothpicks will come in 4 weeks.
Yes, exactly.
So we're just going to save the planet by putting everything in one package, and you're going to get everything in 4 weeks. No. Give me everything now, and then send me the toothpicks when you get the fucking toothpicks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the whole Prime thing, but the longer it has expanded and the more they've increased the rate, the more I'm realizing I get nothing out of this deal. I'm just paying a bunch of money for crap.
Exactly.
It does sound like a scam.
I don't mean to go back to this movie that never was, but I keep thinking about it. I don't think Lawrence Fishburne and what was that guy with the janky eye?
Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker.
Whitaker. I don't think that... What?
Lawrence Fishburne is in this as well? I didn't catch that one. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said it at the beginning. Dude, I don't think they've ever been in a movie together.
No, they must be. They,
no!
Come on.
Lawrence Fishburne and Forrest Whitaker?
Two black actors in the 90s. You know they must have...
That's why I was like blowing my mind, because they're like parallel actors.
They must have done some sort of Star Wars or something together. These two... Forrest Whitaker has been in, like, everything.
Yeah, but I think they're parallel. Like, they never touched.
They never touched.
You know?
Until this moment in time, but then the movie disintegrated. It couldn't happen.
That's why, dude. You can't touch parallel blacks.
Wow. You can't have Lawrence Fishburne and Forrest Whitaker in the same movie?
No, dude. No.
Absolutely I'm telling insane, you. Dude. Wow. That's a wild theory, and I'm kind of on board with it.
Whoa, holy shit.
And now we find the moment
Dude,
of truth.
They were born 15 days apart from each other.
Wow. I think you're onto something here. Never once were acting together in anything. That, like, they were actors during the same decades where, like... We're talking about a time where we weren't doing inclusivity. It's hard to imagine, folks. Like, you were being hired on your acting merits, not just the color of your skin. But, like, right. Over the last 10 years, right? They must have been in something over the last 10 years where wokeism took over Hollywood and we were hiring everyone that wasn't white.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm looking at... I don't think anything...
Well, that's wild stuff, man. I would have never guessed.
Think about it, because they both play, like, the same...
The same guy.
They, like... They're like, they are that big, powerful black man in the movie, you know?
I don't know. Lawrence Fishburne, he's kind of more
Morpheus?
Intense. Yeah, Morpheus, man. He's got like a beastly nature to him where... Whitaker kind of, he's got that chubby kind of thing going on.
He's huge, dude. 6'2", 220.
Whitaker? Yeah. Oh, man. Well, hopefully, I mean, are they both still acting these days?
Yeah. Oh, dude, they were about to be in that thing.
Well, then maybe one of them can play the biopic for the Korean fellow who crossed the line.
Well, tonight, Army Private
you know what
Travis
they should
King
do is play
is
the biopic of the other guy.
71 days after crossing into North Korea.
Lawrence play Forrest, Forrest play Lawrence.
You call it Florence. Right? One night in Florence.
Oh, God. Dude, the strike's over. Somebody get this guy a writing job. Jesus
All right, man.
Christ.
Well, I want to squeeze it in because I thought you liked this story back in the day, and we finally get a little closure. That fellow who crossed the line in Korea.
He's
back.
Well, tonight, Army Private Travis King is back in U.S. custody 71 days after crossing into North Korea. Pyongyang deported him with help from Swedish diplomats who arranged his safe return via China, where U.S. officials met him before heading to a military base in South Korea.
They, like, stress Sweden, and then they throw in the China. No, this was all China. We know China did this.
Yeah. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer has the new details from Tokyo.
Tonight, Private King is on his way home, in good spirits, according to one U.S. official, and looking forward to seeing his family. King has already spoken with his mother, her spokesperson told CBS News.
Everybody is overjoyed that this is a large, very close-knit family. They have been desperately worried about him.
We thank Sweden and the People's Republic of China for their assistance in facilitating that transfer. He is now on his way to the United States, and we expect him to arrive in the coming hours.
North Korea said the 23-year-old was being deported because he had illegally intruded into the territory of the DPRK, claiming feeling against inhuman maltreatment.
You nailed it. I was waiting for you.
You're a fucking bottom-feeding private, maybe a specialist at best. Yeah, you had nothing. Nobody wants you. You're a fucking loser. Go home, cry to your mommy.
Dude, they probably, like, tortured him and found out he had nothing and just got rid of him. Because they didn't want to have some sort of international situation. And
you know who I feel bad for? The torturer who got tortured because he couldn't get any info out of him.
Wow. That guy's dead. You know his whole family's been wiped out in North Korea now.
Mr. Kim, I swear, he knows nothing.
He's bottom feeder.
He's just a stupid kid that came over here. Nobody's that stupid. He knows something.
Yes.
You know they tortured the torturer.
Yeah, well, they probably killed the torturer, and I thought they were gonna kill this guy, but apparently something happened here with the Swedes, the Chinese, they got involved. Kid goes home. Did this even happen?
I have to
put it out there. It's possible this guy doesn't exist and this scenario never even took place, and we will never have any way to prove one way or another.
We'll know if there's actually a court martial, because he's technically still a soldier.
Right, yeah, and he's he went AWOL now, which is
never good.
Probably an even worse thing. And he was accusing the military of being racist, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, which is the dumbest thing ever, because nobody's given black people in America more opportunities than the United States military.
I mean, the military is on the cusp, if not already, taking in migrants just crossing over the border at this point. I mean,
they might have to. They're the only ones that can do push-ups.
I listened to an NPR segment. It was like 8 minutes long, a little too hard to clip. It was all over the place, but they followed a recruiter in a small town somewhere in, like, Oklahoma at a state fair, and he was trying to, like, convince all these people to join. And the reason I wanted to clip it originally is because they go into how they're changing their tactics and bringing on the be all you can be, you know, the be all that all you, that can, you be. Can be. Yeah, man. They're bringing it back. And the commercials are somewhat effective, but they're just really struggling. And so they were following these recruiters, and it was fascinating to hear them in real time engaging these young people who are 16, 17, about to turn 18, not ready for college, in high school. And they're trying to kind of frame the Army in a way where they can get more women in there. And then they're also framing it simultaneously for the dudes to convince them that they're going to go do either combat or not do combat and play, like, video game army. And so they're, like, balancing all these weird tactics.
Yeah, because if you're, like, a drone operator.
But they're not getting anyone to join the Army. And so towards the end of the clip, they started to mention how they are dramatically relaxing their qualifications and rules for your American status when it comes to joining the Army.
You know me, I'm not, especially when it comes to the military, I don't like lowering standards. And I hate the fact that they did it for fitness and now they're doing it for the recruitment, like, or for like the ASVAB, like your intelligence and everything.
That's right.
IQ and everything. Listen, just stop fucking testing people for weed.
Yeah.
Right?
Good call. Yeah, man.
Just stop. Just stop. Same thing with the cops. Just let the cops smoke weed after work. You know, just like drinking. Obviously, you can't do it at work. But,
well, hey, do you think maybe there is an element at play here with the national attention around how they are most definitely probably going to reschedule marijuana and make it a lesser offense? Do you think there's an element there where once they do that, then the Army can stop asking about it? Maybe they can relax the qualifications for becoming a cop.
It's not just the Army, Frank. It's everything. We need young men, and young men aren't getting laid, so they're smoking weed, and we need them for the DOT. You cannot hold a CDL license if you smoke weed.
That's right, man. Yes. Right? So if you reschedule
operating
it,
heavy equipment, any heavy operator union, you can't smoke weed. You know, the plumbing union, even now, you can only smoke weed if your job doesn't require you go to certain places, you know?
For sure. So if you reschedule and reclassify marijuana, all of a sudden, you've now opened the door in all these industries for people who normally wouldn't be able to apply.
Exactly. And now we've gotten to the point, I hate to say it. Like, you go look at the people working. Like, it used to be, like, you don't even want the stoners in the plumbing union. This is the Chicago Local 130. This is the plumbing union. These motherfuckers are working hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You think a stoner's going to come in here and pound in some fucking iron pipe? I don't think so. You're not going to have the muscle and everything. But now, everything's gotten so fucking easy, you know, with the equipment and everything, and they've just dumbed down the code. And it's like, dude, you're not working that hard. These stoners can do it. Trust me.
And maybe it's a little bit better to have a guy who's stoned, a little more laid back. Maybe he's not going to be so high strung and intense with the customer or even with you working on the job, right? Maybe he's going to take a little more.
Good call. I'm pretty high strung. You should let me smoke weed during
work. Get a little high, relax a little bit. You're not so worked up during traffic. You show up to the job, you're a little more relaxed. You're ready to have some fun, do the job.
You know, I don't think so, because there's only, like, me and, like, two other guys that smoke weed at work, and I smoke the most, and I'm the most high-strung. By far.
Maybe there's some sort of psychosis going on here, or connection.
I'm the most, like, I hate just sitting there waiting. Everybody else loves it.
Well, it's because
like, we're getting paid, and I fucking hate it.
Well, yeah, because you're there working, and you're just thinking about getting home and smoking that sweet, sweet cheap of a man, right?
That is what it is, because I'm not here, right? Right.
Instead of working, I could be at home getting high.